It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey there, I'm Mitchell Shiver, lead pastor at Legacy Church, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. No matter where you are, we want to help you connect to Christ, one another, and God's mission. If you're in the Canton, Marietta, or surrounding areas close to one of our physical locations, I want to invite you to join us in person this Sunday. Most importantly, I want you to know that we're here for you. If there's anything we can do, or you want to know how to take a next step in your faith journey, please let us know by going to lcga.info.
You must humble yourself and be like a child. And we talked about 2 weeks ago about having a childlike faith. Not a childish, but a childlike faith. A faith that we trust our God the way we trusted our parents when we were children. That we trust and we see our God above all things. That we trust Him for He to do the little things and the great things. That we trust that He is the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. That we trust that He's true to His promises. And if He said it, He will do it. Because that is who our God is. Last week we talked about the eye of wonder. For us to be able to wonder all the time at the amazing things that God can do. For us to be able to know that He's exceedingly, abundantly greater to do all the things that we may ask or even think. If we could just see God once again like children, truly. And today, we're going to see at the eye of praise. And with this, I want to start with a question. Does God notice me? I know we've all asked ourselves this question. It doesn't matter where you're from, where you were born. Your status, you were born in a king's room or in a manger. We've all asked ourselves, does God notice me? And this has a lot of reference to do with our way of looking and thinking of God. Where our view of where it is. We either think about deism, where we think that there's a supreme being. Yes, there is a God. There's a supernatural force. I don't know if it's ET or who it is, but there's someone out there. But we truly believe that even though there is someone out there, He doesn't interfere with creation. He's not relationship. There is no relationship with the Creator. We see it, they think of a Creator who doesn't intervene or gets involved with the universe, and they reject the supernatural revelation or the miracles. And then there is another view, theism, which believes that God created the universe and He's knowledgeable and actively involved in the world. In theism, we believe in God. There's a creator of the universe. He's not only knowledgeable, but He cares, but He listens, and He responds. A God that is involved with His creation. A God that reveals Himself. Jehovah God, the personal God. And you might think, yeah, option number two is for me, sir. Check mark. But the truth is that even Christians themselves who come to church, even though we believe in a God, we have forgotten of the supernatural, we have rejected the miracles, we have forgotten that our God is the same God, and sometimes we sit at church, we sit here at church, and we believe that God is so far away that He doesn't listen to me, that He doesn't care about me, He doesn't care about my headache or the tribulation that I'm going to. We might think that we believe in atheism, but our actions reflect something different. For us to be able to see this story, we see the story of Mary in Luke 1, 46, 49. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now all the generations will call me blessed, for mighty one has done, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Now, in order for you to understand the context of what's going on, Mary is pregnant and she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And all of a sudden, Elizabeth hears that Mary's coming, listens to her saying, "Hey, how's it going?" And the Bible says that her baby jumps, John the Baptist, and she says she's full with the Holy Spirit right there in the belly. Jesus baptizing someone else in the Holy Spirit while he's in the womb. And that's a preach for another story, for another time. But all of a sudden, we see that they're rejoicing. Now, me thinking, historians, I think they're having a baby shower. Because Zachariah is not there. Joseph is not there. They're probably watching the game. You know what I'm talking about. Because let's be honest. What man wants to sit around and measure the woman's belly? What man wants to eat chocolate out of a diaper? Let's be honest. Just saying. So I believe that they're having some type of baby shower going on. I'm going to preach it like I want it. And all of a sudden, the baby jumps and rejoices. And Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you, O woman. Blessed is the child that is in you. For you have carried my Lord." And all of a sudden, Mary, a humble servant, turns into a worshiper, turns into a singer. Because when you look at Luke 1, 46, 49, it says, Mary's song. I didn't see that. I just recently saw that. In Spanish, I don't know, they skipped it. They didn't want to make Mary a singer. But I was telling them, wow, Mary turned into a singer. Because the truth is, whenever we see God's wonder, whenever we see God's miracle, whenever we see God's presence, there is no other way we can respond but with praise and recognizing that he is great and he's an almighty God. But verse 48 says, he has been mindful. In a different translation, it says, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. In other words, he sees me. All of a sudden, Mary's praising the Lord. And it's easy to think, yeah, of course she's praising the Lord. But let's think for a second. I think women understand this a little bit more. She gets pregnant when she's a teenager. Instead of complaining about her body, instead of complaining, "God, you messed up my honeymoon. I wanted to go to the islands and enjoy my first year with Joseph." Instead, she gets pregnant before she gets to enjoy all that. But instead of complaining, she rejoices and she accepts God's calling. Now, how many times we ourselves, we have a calling, we have a talent, and instead of being grateful for it, instead of praising God, we complain and we think of it as a burden. How many times has God called us to do something and we run away from it because we think it might be too hard, because I have to compromise too much, because what if people might think, because I'm not good enough? But Mary is saying, "Thank you, God. I praise you and I rejoice. I'll write you a new song, for you have chosen me." Now, praise, the meaning of praise, the definition of praise, is to express warm approval or admiration. When we think of praise, we always think of praise and worship. In Hebrew, the word praise is hallel. Repeat with me, hallel. Look at y'all Hebrew theologians all of a sudden. But that comes from the word hallelujah. That's where we get the word hallelujah. And it means to shine, to glorify, to lift God up. Praise refers to lifting God up. It's the joyful recounting of what God has done for you and for me. Praise and thanksgiving are hand to hand. Just to offer the appreciation of what he has already done. Praise is the acknowledgement of all the wonderful, righteous deeds of God. Praise is not something we just do on Sundays when the beautiful chorus and the great instruments are playing. Praise is a lifestyle. Praise is an everyday thing. Praise, we choose to praise him, not out of my circumstances, not out of what I'm going through, but I praise and I worship because of who he is. I praise and I worship because of who, what he already did at the cross. And that's what differentiates whenever you see people, that they act and react and the way they worship and they carry themselves has a lot to do with what's going around them. But my status and my circumstances does not define the God that I worship. And I think there is a time for a church to be reminded that we need to worship and praise above all things. That whenever we're in trouble, we ought to praise and worship. That whenever we're in tribulation, we ought to praise and worship. Whenever you're doing great, praise and worship. Whenever you're in abundance, praise and worship. Whenever you only have rice and beans, thank you, Lord, hallelujah. That's my main dish. You praise and you worship. Because that's what greets God. That's what makes God happy. For his faithfulness, we praise him. We praise him for his mercy. We praise him for his amazing grace. Oh, Shannon wants to start singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. For a wretch like me. For I was lost, now I'm found. For I was blind, and now I can see. All the songs, all the worships are always for him and to him. There is a big difference between the first two kings in the Bible, between David and Saul. The first king was Saul. And the Bible states that he was handsome, that he was tall, and he was strong. But he was the people's king. That's why God didn't make me too tall. Just saying. I'm going to preach it like I want it. But David, what describes David was that he was a man after God's heart. Before he was a warrior, before he was a king, he was a worshiper. David is not known for his sword. David was not known first for what he could do. He was known for worshiping, for praising God. And I love what God tells Samuel, for men see the outside. Men see appearance. Men see status. Men see who you come and how you look. But God sees the heart. That's why God had to tell, kind of rebuke Samuel in a way, because when he goes and sees all the sons, he's like, oh, it has to be this one. He's good looking. He's strong. He's tall. He's blonde. No, it's not this one. It's not that one. It's the next one. It's the next one. I don't know if you ever felt like that. I'm not tall enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not talented enough. I want to preach, but I don't move as much as he does. I don't have enough experience. I don't have enough knowledge. But I have news for you. God sees you. God sees you for who you are and where you are. The second story I have for you is the story of Hagar. And as you know, Hagar is an Egyptian slave woman. She belonged to Abraham's wife. Now, when you look at the story, you know that Sarah can't conceive. She can't give Abraham the children. And she knows that God has promised Abraham a children. So they take the action for their own hands and say, let's do it, let's make it happen. And Sarah tells Abraham to sleep with his slave, who she was 18, 19 years old. And men, I think this is where we understand from the father of faith that Abraham understood to say, and he understood the phrase, happy wife, happy life. I think that's where we get it from. So quote it. Abraham said it. Sarah tells him, hey, you need to sleep with my daughter, with my slave, because we can't have kids. So Abraham says, yes, honey, as you wish. And things happen, and all of a sudden, Hagar is conceived, and all of a sudden, she starts seeing Sarah with different eyes. The Bible says that she starts seeing him hateful. And all of a sudden, two women and one man, sounds like a soap opera to me. The Bible says that Sarah perceives a change in Hagar. She began to despise her. So the story tells that Hagar runs away. A woman with no name, a woman with no background, she was a slave, runs away to the wilderness. She runs away to the desert. But the angel of the Lord shows up all of a sudden. God always shows up. The angel of the Lord found her. And after that, and he talks to her and tells her, gives her a promise, I will make your new nation go back to her. And in Genesis 16, 13, she says, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. El Roy, the God who sees me. And she tells her, name your child Ishmael, the God who hears. I've been asked before, why am I the way I am? Why do I preach the way I preach? Why am I excited? Why do I come happy on Sundays? And the only response, the only answer that I can think of is the fact that when no one saw me, he saw me. Whenever I wasn't a preacher, whenever I was over there in my country, he knew who I was. Whenever I felt like I didn't have a dad, that my mom had to come to the U.S., whenever I felt like an orphan in my little room praying for those shorts with the hole. If you missed the first message, go back on YouTube to catch up. I understand what it is not to be born correct. I understand what it is not to be born in the right family, with the right appearance, with the right hair, well, my hair is nice. But anyways, with the right eyes. And I asked God, why was not I born with a perfect family, with a dad and a mom, with a dog and maybe a red door? I don't know, you could have given me blonde hair, a little bit whiter, and blue eyes. But God said, I will make you a little bit caramel color that many women around the world would pay to have that color. And this is natural. Because God sees you the way you are, church. And I want to tell somebody here today, it doesn't matter how talented you are or how talented you not are. Whether people recognize you or whether people don't recognize you. Whether the society sees you or society doesn't see you, the most important thing is that the Almighty, the one who created the universe, the kings of kings and lords of lords, the author of life, sees you how you are. And he chose you for the bigger purpose. He chose you with a plan. You might not think of it, but yes, he did. Everyone in here has a talent. Everyone in here has a calling. Everyone in here can do something for God. The question is, are you willing to? Are you willing to be used by the great God? Because Hagar says, the God who sees me, El Roy. When no one else saw me, he saw me. Now you have to think for a second. She was Egyptian. She didn't go to Legacy Church. She didn't have a membership. She didn't have a precious chorus. She didn't have these precious ornaments and everything. She didn't have a small group or a Friday night gathering. She didn't have any of that. But somehow she recognized that there was someone out there that cared for her, that saw her name, that saw her in care. And how many times I think that we've thought and been in this position when we see someone else get the blessing. When we see someone else get the deliverance, when we see someone else get the healing, when we see someone else get the breakthrough, and I think you and I have been in that position, we say, when is it me, God? I wasn't born right either, but can you ever use me? Can I get my blessing? Can I get my breakthrough? Can I get my miracle? Just keep praising. Just keep praying. Just keep pushing. For he sees you, for he knows what you're going through, for he knows what you need. He will give you his joy once again. He will restore you once again. He will use you great things, but do you believe? Because for him who believes, everything is possible. Matthew 9:23. Because he's faithful to keep his promises. Hebrews 13:6. Do we believe in the God, church, that we praise? Do we know who we worship here on Sundays? Do we know what we do here on a Sunday? I often see people with their hands in their pocket, and I respect culture and all that. But the Bible says in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5 That we're going to be bowing down, throwing our thrones to him, declaring holy, holy, holy is his name. And if we can worship him here in church, if we can worship him here on earth, what are we going to do in heaven? Now, God has given gifts and talents. God has given us the ability to be able to worship him in any way that we can. And I am a true believer that we are able to attract God's presence. You see, both Saul and David, they both fail. They both sin. But somehow David knew how to attract God's presence. Somehow David knew how to ask for forgiveness because he knew what was more important to him was God's presence, God's Holy Spirit, more than his status, more than his position. And as we're getting ready for Christmas and the presents, I just want to remind you that God sees you and God sees it all. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." Psalms 33:13-15 says, "From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches them who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do." God sees it all. Have you ever been in a position where you're at a store or you're somewhere and all of a sudden you see somebody coming at you and they're waving? You're like, "I don't know that person, but I guess I kind of know him." You start waving back and then all of a sudden they just pass by through. They're waving the person behind you. Sometimes we feel like that. The God is just waving at us, but truly he's waving at somebody in the back. He's not watching us like the government does to control us. He's watching us because he cares and he loves us. He's watching us because he has compassion for us. And as I was praying this morning, I said, "God, give me a fresh word. Somebody needs to hear a fresh word from you today." And you just told me, "Remind my people that at your lowest, he sees you. At your highest, he sees you. He sees you when you're hurting and when you're rejoicing. He sees you when you're in pain or when you're in joy. He sees you when you're disappointed or when you're happy. He sees you when you're lonely. He sees you when you're in the hospital. He sees you when you're in the wilderness or when you're in trial. He's always been there. He always is." This is not up here, but God reminded me of Psalms 139:7-12 when David is saying, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence, God? If I go up in the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." I wonder if you felt lonely, if you felt like nobody cared, if you felt like nobody called you when you were sick, if you felt like maybe nobody was there when you felt alone and lonely and disappointed. But the most important one was there with you. But the one who cares, the one who matters was there with you. Revelation 3:20 says that he's always knocking at the door. And I think there is a time coming and in 2024 where he's going to be pouring out of the Holy Spirit as he promised. And where we need to have discernment of the Holy Spirit, because the truth is he's always listening and he's always seeing. Which means that he's also always talking. If we were just have our ears open to see what he wants to do, where he wants to go, what he wants to do with our lives, what he wants to do with our church, what he wants to do with our ministry. Because at the end of the day, it's his ministry. It's not our ministry. At the end of the day, it's his church. It's not our church. As I was thinking about this and reading the nativity and everything. There's a word that stood up to me. As I was thinking the fact that God sees us and God cares, just the way that he showed up for Hagar, just the way that he shows up for Moses and says, I've heard and I've seen the affliction of my people. He wants you to know today that he still sees, that he still cares, that you're still in his hands, that he's still in control. And he cares and he sees so much that 2,000 years ago, he came in the form of a baby. That 2,000 years ago, the kings of kings and lords of lords took a form of a baby. But what stood out to me was that as I was reading in Luke 2, and as Mary and Joseph go down to Bethlehem to register because of the census, all of a sudden, the creator who puts himself into creation, they go and the Bible says like there was no room for him. And this word just kept in my head, there was no room for him. And as we celebrate Christmas and as we go out shopping and the lights and everything that we enjoy, we gather with our families. My question is there going to be room for Jesus during this Christmas? Is there going to be room for Jesus when we gather and when we meet? Is there room for Jesus in our lives to do what he wants to do? Is there room for Jesus in our church and our ministries to do what he wants to do? Because even though he was the owner and the creator of the earth, there was no room for him at the end. Is there room for him in your life? Can you trust him once again? Do you put your trust in the one who never fails? I don't know what 2024 holds. Historians say one thing. I don't know who the president is going to be, and I don't care. I know who's sitting up in the throne. Trump, Biden, whoever is running cannot save this nation. The King of Kings is the only one who can save this nation. It starts with the church. It starts with us. I believe that it's a time where we've been praying for revival. What is revival? What is the definition of revival? Simply where God shows up every Sunday. Where we see people repenting from their sins. When we see people come up to the front on a shame asking for forgiveness. Where we see people once again being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled with his joy, being filled with the joy of salvation. And I am talking to you today, as we get ready for Christmas, as the joy of salvation was born, is there still joy in your life? Is there still love? Is there still peace in your life? Because this is what God gives. Because if we are in a way of a religious matter where we come every Sunday and we just serve to serve and it's just a job, then we have forgotten the most important thing. Mary, she rejoiced. Her body was never going to be the same. She never went to her honeymoon, but she rejoiced. Hagar, she was not born properly. She was a slave, but she rejoiced. Are you able to rejoice with what you have? Are you able to rejoice in the position that you're in? Because when we start rejoicing, things start happening. When we start rejoicing and we start praising, all of a sudden things start breaking loose. When we start praising, oh, hell stops trembling. If there's something that the enemy wants to take away from you, from the church, is the praise and the worship. We need to go back to praise and worship in truth and spirit. It starts on a Sunday, but it doesn't end at 1:12:15. Sunday night, I'm praising and worshiping. When the husband doesn't take the trash out, I'm praising and I'm worshiping, ladies. When she doesn't buy you a favorite snack, you're still worshiping and you're still praising. Praise and worship at all times. It starts here today. We're living in a country that where we're still able to worship and praise in freedom. There's many people around the world that can't praise and worship in freedom. So when every time you're given the opportunity with an amazing band, with amazing singers, which my wife is part of it, you ought to worship and praise with all your might, with all your spirit, with all your sense. And then things start happening. I tell my wife sometimes when we gather on Fridays and God's presence shows up, and I say, we are not perfect. We are not sinless. But God is just looking for a place where he can do whatever he wants. God shows up when we praise him and we worship him. We look at the formulas and the revival formulas around the world. And what is this church doing? What is that church doing? What is the plan? What is the logistic? Simply praise and worship Jesus. Simply give him room to do whatever he wants to do. Simply let's seek him in truth and spirit, and he will show up. He showed up in the Old Testament. He showed up in the New Testament. He's showing up today. You want to know why I am excited, why I'm fired up? Because I've seen God do great things. Because I've seen God heal a deaf boy 10 years old who was born deaf. Because I saw God heal somebody who was in a wheelchair. Because I saw God heal someone's eyes and ears. Because I've seen the God's miracles. I'm not talking to you about God that I read in a paper and a pamphlet. I'm talking to you about a God that is real, and he's here today. And he's saying, if you just let me, church, if you just ask for a church, if you just give me room, church, I will do it again. For he is the same God of yesterday and the same God of today. His power is the same. Romans 8:11 says, the same spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that is in you, that is in me. But do we believe? Do we believe like a child again? Do we trust once again like a child? If the worship team comes up, I want to pray. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. As we get towards the end of the year, it's my rejoice, it's my prayer that we start up 2024 fired up for Jesus. That we don't put a program, that we don't box God in. That we just let God do what he wants to do. That we believe once again that he's too powerful. That we walk in holiness because we know that he is holy. That is my desire. Everything else will come. The church will fill. We will need more chairs because people are going to come and see, I don't know, that guy who moves too much. He kind of looks Latino. I don't know with his skin color. All that I know that whenever I show up in a parking lot, the presence feels different. Things shift. Chains are broken. People are healed. That's my desire. That's my prayer. For us to worship God in truth and spirit. For us to finish this year fire up. For us to start 2024 fire up. And you will see the great things that God will do. God shows up when we praise him. God shows up when we seek him. God shows up when we want more from him. God shows up when we're hungry for him. But there's many of us who we're satisfied with the way that we are. We're content with the way we are. Let me tell you, church, there's more. We're in the shores. It's time to get up in the deep sea, in the river of God. And this is not part of the outline, but I'm talking to somebody here today. I think God is calling us for a revival, and it starts with hunger. Hunger for him. Hunger for his presence. Hunger for prayer. 1 minute of prayer is not going to do it. 1 minute of reading the Bible is not going to do it. But when we start being hungry for him, he's going to show up. Can we stand up and we pray today? Are we hungry for him? Can we pray for his presence? Can we pray for more? For God to do it again. For God to start with you. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is promised to no one. Today is the day of healing. Today is the day of freedom. Today is the day of deliverance. Today is the day, the joys of the Lord. The joy of the Lord will fill you up again. Do you believe? Do you trust Him? Let's start praising Him and praying for the next minute or so. Let your voice be heard in the heavens. For His word says, if my people who are called by my name pray, seek me, that is the secret for God to answer. Heavenly Father, we worship you. We magnify you. We exalt your holy name. We lift up your name, O God. There is no one like you. There will never be anyone like you. Thank you for your presence. We come before you with humble hearts, thanking you for who you are. For you see us and you care. God, we want to enter into a time of prayer and worship to exalt your holy name. We fall short of words to be able to give you all the honor and all the glory. So we worship and we exalt your holy name. For you are great. You are awesome. You're an amazing God. You're a holy God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for choosing us, oh God. Thank you for your forgiveness of sins. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for everything you've done for us, in us and through us. Thank you for what you're doing now. Thank you for what you're doing in your church. Thank you for all the blessings, small or big. Thank you for your presence. We need more of you, God. Jesus, we need you. Do it again in your church. Do it again in me. I ask you in the name of Jesus to fill every life with the joy of your salvation. To pour out of your Holy Spirit once again. I declare healing in the name of Jesus, for your word says that by your stripes we are healed. I declare freedom in the name of Jesus, for your word says that there where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I declare your presence in this place, for your word says that there was just two or three gathering your name, that's where you are, God. And we gather in your name, the only name worthy to be praised, Jesus. So we exalt you and we magnify you this morning. We ask you for your presence to go with us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit so we may burn for you. Light up the flame in our hearts so we may preach your truth and we may be witness of your gospel. The Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Do it in your church, oh God. We give you all the honor and all the glory. We exalt your holy name. We praise you, we praise you, we praise you. We give you all the honor and all the glory. For you are only worthy to be worshipped in the name that is above all names. In the name